Brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. Brian Haziodog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We've added to the set. A beautiful cake has arrived. Thank you very much.
Yes, thanks,
both of you contributing greatly. Thank you for thinking of me.
It's the most gutless move I witnessed here recently, and it is amazing.
Look at that. Just a beautiful cake. Come on, Joe, from the bridge.
Dear Hazy B on it.
This thing's going to flip.
Yeah, it's going to go right down, Joe, from the bridge.
Beautiful. Thank you, Joe, from the bridge.
This is all the grappler. But the thing is the grappler comes in with the cake. There's a present. It sounded like there might be a bottle of wine or something in there. Oh. I don't know. And you go, who's this from? And O reaches over and goes, thanks. You're like, happy birthday, buddy. I contributed.
I chipped in on
that idea. The most gutless thing I've seen
in a while. It is a greasy move, but when it's unknown who contributed, you just stick out the hand and say, I contributed.
Thank you. I owe you one.
And you are ninja dusted. You didn't pay for squat.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right about that. Getting basically uncalled for adulation basically a thank you that is completely undeserved.
Another greasy way to go about it is you don't know what's in the bag like I don't. You just give the old, I hope you appreciate that.
Hope you like it.
Yeah,
hope you love that.
I think you'll like
that. I think you're going to love that thing.
I think you'll like it. Then it suggests you actually know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Chances are a lot of times, though, if your wife is you know, a lot of times you arrive at a party or something, or you give somebody a gift and your wife's bought it or your significant other, and you have no idea what you have
all
to lean over and go, what do we get them?
Right. All the time, especially going to kids' parties and stuff.
Like
my wife,
box?
I'll give her incredible amounts of credit.
Right.
Like if I'm told to go out and get something, I will do that.
Right.
And I will do that a lot of times, you know, sometimes with my nieces and my nephews. Like, all right, can you go get this for them?
I'll go get a
Matthews jersey for them or whatever it is. But if it's like, hey, the neighbor across the street, we're going over there, I have no idea what we're about to
give that child. I've never been more dishonest in my life. Like if someone, it's a couple and the wife gets a gift and they're like, you shouldn't have, and you just say, deserve it, the wink. It's so greasy but so on point. You just give a wink and say, you deserve that.
Absolutely. Happy to.
But
for you,
have
anything.
No idea what's in that box
nothing.
Or what's
contributed
in the bag.
Nothing
or
to it. Not even a second of thought, let alone like a penny that's been contributed to that. But we got a big hour here. Confirm or deny will be happening later in the hour. We're hoping Mackenzie Hughes could join us. He's still on site. A lot of the players are still, you know, they're moving around here at Oakdale and trying to get, you know, the feel for the course.
Don't you think their schedules slightly got disrupted today? So they still want to get ready for the tournament, but several hours, you know, spent on this other situation.
It's interesting because Rory's in town and Rory was offsite. Tuesday is a big offsite day for big sponsors.
Right.
Like you come up to a massive city like this, there's probably a corporation that paid him a fortune to come out and play somewhere.
Right.
And can you imagine how distracted he would have been, A, when he heard the news?
Mm-hmm. His phone would be blowing up.
And you'd have Joe Blow from Woodbridge saying, hey, what do you think? I just heard the news, and it's like, I'm out here with this guy. You got to respect everyone.
Right.
Like, wouldn't you think a lot of the play would be, and it's the wrong way to go about it, Jamie, we've dealt with lockouts where they've always wanted every player committed, on board, informed, show your face, be in the room, blah, blah, blah. But for a lot of the guys, wouldn't they say, I got to golf and try to make a living here? Like, what am I going to do? Throw my arms up in the air and storm City Hall over this? What?
I think that's happening with a number of players
but
that probably
Rory,
came out.
The ones that were
Rory's
playing,
different.
That's the thing. Rory's one of the faces. He's got to be there. He's got to have a voice. Whereas, you're right, if there's a guy that's farther down, he's got to worry about trying to make some money out here.
Plus, he's not in there putting his hand up with a question for Monahan.
Yeah.
Like the 128th ranked player in the world.
Right.
Probably not getting in the queue to get a question to Monahan. McIlroy would probably be speaking first.
Exactly.
Where, you know, other guys might be in a different story. And exactly. There are guys that are like, it doesn't matter for me. I got to try to win a golf tournament or try to make a cut.
Right.
So I'm going to go take advantage of this. The course is wide open. I'm going to go learn what I can. So that it's been a wild day here with everything going on with the PGA Tour, LIV Golf, like reports kind of coming out that LIV Golf basically doesn't exist anymore in the same form, or Jay Monahan effectively runs LIV Golf. Like, in a way, he's got a lot of power over what's going to happen with LIV Golf. I'll right. believe that when I see
no
it.
No kidding, because what are they going to do about the players that signed up for LIV, accepted all the money? What, are they just going to put that in their back pocket and just play on the PGA Tour now?
This is another example, though, of the haves and have-nots, right? Like, you immediately go to Mickelson and Koepka and DJ. Those guys were going to be okay before LIV. They'll right. be fine after LIV. The 48th guy on the LIV Tour, that guy's in trouble.
Right.
That guy's sitting there, look like Chase
Koepka.
Koepka's brother. He's not coming back here. He can't play on the tour.
But he hope he got the five sheets or whatever reported. You hope that he got that money guaranteed or up front.
Right. He likely did.
Right.
But there are a couple of stragglers on that tour that they're not. Yeah. They're not just all of a sudden showing up at Oakdale saying, "Okay, I'm good to go." Like, they wouldn't even be qualifying. But what this does likely open the door for is the Ryder Cup is going to be stacked again.
Well, don't you think the like door it's go opening time to that. All of this being even a possibility is when they allowed them to play in the majors? Like, when they didn't shut the door on that and said, you guys are gone, whether you qualify or not, you're not playing, that's basically...
Yes, I think that was probably a big levy that broke. Now, the individual majors, they had the right to make that call. That wasn't Monahan or
right.
the PGA Tour.
You're right, but they could have easily said, you guys are not playing in these.
And
Sorry.
That began with Augusta, and they said, we're going to have the best field possible.
Oh, your boy Freddie Ridley came out with a comment today. He's like, this is great for golf.
My boy Fred Ridley.
Yeah.
I will say he's my boy if he gets me on there someday. And he's your boy, too. Fred Ridley.
Oh, I love a Fred Ridley. He's got the hair. He's got everything done. He's so hungover.
Fred when he's, C. Ridley.
Yes. When he's on that first tee, he's loving life.
Yes,
I love
he
me
really
some
does.
Fred Ridley.
Yeah, we all love Fred. So, anyway, we'll see what comes of it. Bob Weeks will join us here around the table. Jays are back in action tonight. The pressure's on Gausman to go deep tonight. I expect that he will because he's been doing it all year.
Yeah.
And Manoa's, you know, he's off to the Florida Complex League. And we had Steve Phillips on an hour ago. He said, don't expect to see this guy anytime soon.
But
like, it's going to be a month plus before he is even close to coming back to Toronto.
The team has to move past him as far as the mindset of, hey, this guy's right around the corner. We got to go. Like, you've got to figure out what your rotation's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think, if you get an inkling that this guy might not come back in a month, like, there, you might have to make a move.
This is where you got the whiteboard in the office.
Right.
They have plan A, B, C, D,
exactly.
E, F. Like, it's going all the way down the alphabet because you have to. You cannot assume that Manoa's going to find it.
Agreed.
I think you almost have to work under the pretense that this guy's basically not an option the rest of the year.
Right.
And if he finds a way to return, it's a bonus.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I'd be operating.
Not a pessimistic outlook either. That's just being realistic.
He's pitched his way into this situation. It sucks. It does.
Yeah.
But he's put himself in a position where it was untenable and he had to be removed. And he's been removed, and we'll find out when he comes back. So more on that later in the hour with confirm or deny. 2 days off in between games 2 and 3 of the Cup Final.
I know. We're transitioning to hockey. I wrote it down to remind us. Lou Lamoriello did his media today, 39 days after the Islanders finished the season.
Right.
There's a method to that madness.
He did his media availability, his year end, today at 3 o'clock.
Did he say anything of substance?
Well,
I haven't seen or
heard
it.
I was reading through the transcript before it came and then just brushed up on it. It's like, yeah, I'm coming back. Lambert's coming back. trying to get Engvall, Varlamov, few guys signed. Brock, you know, he had a few guys. Yeah, I'm looking at maybe not. Josh Bailey's not coming back because he, you know, he's a healthy scratch and doesn't want to, like, just basically lay of the land.
Right.
Do you imagine, like,
40 days after they've been
out? It's a brilliant play. Let everything die down and then just say, hey, guys, what's going on? Any questions? And nobody cares anymore.
It's weird with Lou, though. Like, I understand he operates the way he wants to operate, but he's generally accessible.
Yeah.
Like, he may not say much, and he's very guarded, but...
But he comes on.
He always is willing to accept the invite to speak.
Right.
Like, generally.
It just, they asked him, like, why, and he goes, well, I really wasn't... Didn't feel like having any answer. I didn't have any answers then, and I didn't really want to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
He just drives the bus and like, okay, like. But at what point do you go, like, the media, the fan base is going, like, we'd like to hear from this guy.
Well, that is where it's what I always find interesting with those type of scenarios is how the owner didn't go to Lou and say, Lou, Like, right. Come on, not about the media, but the fans. We owe it to the fans to speak, yeah. Right? Like, go out there. I understand if you need a buffer of a few days, maybe a week, 2 weeks. There's a contractual thing in the air. 39 days is excessive.
It is.
That's a long time for Lou to decide I'm going to speak. Did he say anything about the Cup Final? Does he think it's over?
No, I like there was nothing.
I'd love to get
that.
His answer on that.
There was it was just more about his team and you know the coaching staff. He did he gave them a vote of confidence. He goes, I thought they did a reasonably good job. Like that was the one quote that kind of stood out for me. Like, yeah, they were okay.
Yeah,
you know,
but he
like,
doesn't have to give out anything.
No,
he
doesn't. But it
like
just
he could be the straightest
hated
shooter.
All the coaches couldn't fire them.
Yeah, but it was maybe just that's what took so long.
Just a weird like. Can you imagine? Like that's the Randy Carlyle. Okay, just okay.
Well, I mean, they squeaked in, right?
Yeah.
And, like, they made the Horvat deal. That was a big deal. That paid off. Barzal returned.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that's like kind of what I expected. I didn't think they were not a cup-contending team
at
any point.
No, but they do have to move forward. Like, if anything, you need to add more to that group. They've got some good young players, but you need, like, if it's anything, for a copycat league, you need deeper D. You need star power. You need all of the things like
they gotta just like they're structurally sound. They gotta find a way to score more goals. They grind and, yeah. and work and grind for one or two goals a night. And it's
right.
just as much as it can be sound. And you might win some games with that goal tank. It's not good enough.
It's grueling. Yeah. As for the Cup Final, you know, I think the story of the night last night is Bobrovsky getting pulled. Four yeah. goals on 13 shots, and screened. You know, in close. Florida was all over the place. Like, it's not like they were there were a couple of goals where you'd like him to have, but at some point this was going to happen. Like, at
yeah.
some point,
well,
he was going to.
10 days didn't help it either.
Well, that was a big part of the conversation, right? We were having it. We're like, is yeah. Bob going to get rusty now? Because he's been in the zone playing every other night and playing at a level unlike maybe anything we've seen before.
Right.
And now is he finally just, as he lost
it. Is the bubble burst or is the Cinderella, it's midnight?
Because Vegas is a better team.
Or Vegas is a better team, but Florida's got to find a way to disrupt the way that Vegas plays. And Florida has been, and I will give them credit, throughout this playoffs, they have been able to adapt. You know, any type of adversity, they've been able to kind of, okay, let's move in a different direction. Let's. But the one consistent thing from Game 5 against Boston was Bobrovsky was out of his mind. So he gave them an opportunity to adjust. But right now, you gave up a four-pack. You gave up four last night before he got lifted. It ends up 7-2, and it got ugly near the end where it's like, okay, you know, Vegas is just now for fun.
They're steamrolling them.
And
that's like because Florida came out to their credit, and they score a couple quick in the third. But then Marchessault scores after it was
– Howden, yeah.
And like then Howden scores, and it's over at that point. But – the officiating appears to have changed a little bit. Like, they're getting calls on
yeah.
some things that maybe they weren't getting called on in previous rounds. I don't know if it's apples to apples necessarily. But it is amazing what happens when your goalie starts to struggle. Like, immediately other things get exposed.
Well, you unravel. That's
all of a sudden, it's like you can't defend that well. Actually, they're not that good. They're not that deep. They play stupid. They play undisciplined. Well, you're like, well, they've been playing that way the whole time, only Bob was making stops.
And,
like, they weren't blowing teams out. They didn't blow Carolina out. They didn't blow the Leafs out.
They were winning 3-2.
Exactly.
Right.
Because Bob was standing on his head, and they find a way to get to three.
Timely goals. Exactly.
Yeah.
There was eight games or nine games in a row where Bob allowed three or less.
Exactly.
And one was he lost 2-1 to the
2-1
Leafs.
2-1 in game five or
right.
game four.
You know, now he's at a four-pack in a game and a half, we'll call it. He needs to be better, but that team needs a reset and in a hurry. And if you're Vegas, you're sitting there going, we just need one. Like, that's the mindset. Like, they could sweep, but they also can go down to Florida and go, we just need one, and we're going home for a game five, and Bill Foley will ride in on his helicopter.
Oh, it'll be a helicopter from Vegas to Miami. We'll get into the Petrangelo angle, too. I think he might be in the Hall of Fame anyway, but if he adds a second cup, I think
he's
probably
a
lock at that point, right?
Yeah.
You would think so, for sure. So we've been at the RBC Canadian Open. Yesterday, we've been there. We've been here all day today up here at Oakdale, and today has had a very different vibe to it, right? Like, the course was open for the pros. A lot of guys have been out there putting in work, But really, it has not been about the RBC Canadian Open today. It's been about the bigger story of golf and the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and Liv slash the Saudis kind of brokering a deal. Bob Weeks, our TSN golf reporter, joining us. How would you compare today on the grounds to any other day in your career?
This was huge. I mean, everyone running around. So many different aspects to this story that we still don't even know. There's 100,000 questions. I started my day this morning at an RBC event, an off-site event, and there was a number of top players, including Rory McIlroy, was there. He found out by looking at his phone. You know, he was sitting there, and I can't imagine what was going through his head. And then you came back here, and the players were, everyone's asking questions. No one knows what's going on. It was a bizarre day, a really, really bizarre day, and nobody, unfortunately, talked about the RBC Canadian Open.
Yeah.
Is there any kind of further details to what it actually means for all of this, Bob, as far as the players and who's going to do what, and what can Liv players do? Because we were informed earlier that this doesn't necessarily mean that Liv players can just go jump and play a PGA Tour event whenever they want. Like, can you explain any of that?
So Jay Monahan just met with the press. He had a conference that I was on, a virtual conference that he came on, and he said basically what they have now is only a framework. They have a very basic framework. They don't even know what next year is going to look like. They don't know.
So this says nothing's changing this year.
Nothing's changing this year. Everything, both leagues will play out to the end of this season. They'll retool in the new year and start again. We don't know. I kind of got the impression from listening to Jay Monahan that Liv might not live on in its present form. He talked about evaluating team golf. And there's also now also sort of a how do the Liv players get back onto the PGA Tour. He said they'll have to pay a fine. It'll vary between how long they were and how much money they got. And there also might be an equalization for guys like Rory or Tiger who turned down huge sums of money to go over there to be loyal to the PGA Tour. But really, there's a lot of stuff that needs to be asked.
How do the players get by the fact that this guy that this all happened without them knowing anything about it? Like, how are they ever, like, we were talking about Jay Monahan. He must have had something in his deal where it's like, I'll go ahead and merge with you guys, but you better protect me because these guys are going to hate my guts after this.
Probably. And there was a player meeting at 4 o'clock today, and I've been told by a number of players it was heated. And at one point, somebody, one of the players, stood up and talked about a change of leadership, and there was a standing ovation in that room. So these players are very hot right now, and they don't know. They don't have any answers. That's the other problem, is they don't know what's going on. Why did it have to be kept secret? Well, I was also told that the negotiations with the PIF, the Saudi League fund, said that if any of this gets out before we have a framework, we're out of here. So they had to keep it.
Well, that's how deals get done. You get all the players' voices involved. The deal never gets done.
Right. On both sides, though,
exactly.
Right? That includes
Liv
players and Greg Norman.
Greg Norman found out 2 minutes before the press release went out. So that was probably the last 2 minutes of his career with Liv Golf,
right?
I would think.
Well, and that's
that
why
that kind of sucks for him, man.
Absolutely, but I would also suggest if Jay Monahan's sitting here saying, "Okay, I'm good with the Saudis or whoever," they don't care about Jay Monahan, right? Just like they clearly today don't care about Greg Norman.
Right.
Once their foot is in the door, they don't care.
No.
Like, they just want to get in. They want to be a part of the process.
They can make all those changes once they've got a lock on it.
Right.
But it's clear that cash kind of just makes things, you know, Greg Norman made a fortune go away type of thing. Like, that might be the case with Monahan. Like, oh, you know, you're involved in this deal. You're gone, too, because they want you out. Here's your severance and gone. Like,
but there's got to be a payoff for that, though.
Right, the overarching thing is there's money involved, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing. For, you know, if I was one of the players out there, I'd say, okay, I think I'm going to make more money. I think the purses are going to be bigger. I think there's going to be just so much more. And Graham DeLett up on our hit that we just did said, you know, there's two types of players. There are some that are just so angry, and then there's others who just say, well, yeah, okay, tell me how much the purse is going to be next
right.
year.
Right, just going to keep playing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we've noticed that today during the meeting, there were still guys out here playing.
Yeah.
They're like,
right.
I don't care about the meeting. I'll find out later.
Right.
I get Cole's notes.
Somebody,
I got to learn Oakdale.
I had one pro text me. He says, I'm not going there because I don't want to have to listen to that liar.
Right.
So there's some harsh stuff.
Yeah. Well, and that's, like, I'm trying to figure out the possible winners and losers here. And I'm guessing Mickelson, Koepka, like, they'll be the ones gloating, assuming they feel like they can get back into the world of golf, get back into the PGA Tour. But that is what is going to be intriguing in terms of some of the bigger names and the louder voices in golf who have been adamant, including Jack Nicklaus recently, who said, never come back. You should never be allowed back.
Yeah, he said Liv's not even a part of golf anymore.
Right.
That's right.
And
that's
now
right.
What? Now they are back? I mean, it doesn't – I guess Jack doesn't have the all-empowering vote, but still it's a loud voice.
I still think there's going to be some pretty harsh relationships no matter where these guys play. I mean, if it's just four times a year at the majors or if it's one big league again, these guys are not going to forget this kind of stuff very much.
The one comment that Monahan's going to get grilled on, and someone's going to interview him and play it, is when Jimmy Nance interviewed him at the Canadian Open last year, and the 9/11 stuff was brought up, and he claimed to get all emotional and talk about that. He's going to have to chew on that and somehow circle around it and find a way to comment on it.
He got asked that in the press conference today, and he just said, you know, it's a different conversation we're having now. With times have changed, it's a different time for this conversation. And he was dancing pretty
ridiculous.
Well.
Ridiculous.
And if I was one of the
yeah, that's just a blatant. That's just him lying. And he understands. He's
sure.
Screwed. He's
sure.
Like, I'm screwed. I made those comments. I was on a moral high ground at that point, and now I'm not. And that's basically what else is he going to do?
That's it. He's got to dance. He was dancing well.
There's no PR spin on that.
No.
That's really right. What it is. He's got to chew on it, but I think in their minds it's like, okay, we'll get through the bad PR. We'll get through all of this, and ultimately when you come out the other end, you're still going to be golf and everyone's involved, and there's a lot more money involved.
Exactly. I mean, the Saudis have $650 billion in their PIF, so I don't think they have to worry too much.
Bob Weeks joining us. Yeah, that's the public investment firm that's been pumping money into Liv forever, and now I guess it could be pumping into the PGA Tour. What about, you know, the RBC Canadian Open? Where are we at? Like, it was this time last year when they were starting Liv in London. It was this tournament that basically began the players leaving because Dustin Johnson pulled the chute. He had been the face of this tournament for a decade. What are they thinking? Because they're really getting screwed in terms of the focus being on Oakdale and the Canadian Open today.
It's the second year in a row that
this they got
happened.
Jammed up.
And I don't forget this year that this whole designated event thing came in here, so the field got depleted, right? So you've got guys who don't want to play because the next last event was a designated. You got a major and a designated.
Bobby,
so
I thought Rory was going to withdraw because he was so pissed.
I wouldn't have been surprised. We were talking about that today. I thought he might. I thought some other players might, but that's. Rory's a good dude. You know, he's a really down-to-earth guy, and I think he's got a big heart, and he kind of realizes that wouldn't be the right way to go. But I don't know. I feel sorry for the RBC Canadian Open. They just keep getting kicked in the you-know-where.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure every individual tournament is probably trying to figure out where they're going to land here. And you can't get an answer today. It's only so, you know. But if there's going to be a form of team golf, the elevated events, the majors – like, what could we be looking at a year from now, years from
we
now?
We talked about this in February, about the Pebble Beach. Like, Pebble Beach used to
no
be...
No one played it.
Jordan Spieth was the only big-name player out there.
And it was set next year to become a designated event on this new calendar that they've sort of brought out. And so you think, okay, now this is all going to change again? So all these designated events, nobody knows what's going to happen.
Well, didn't Rex Hager just report on a different schedule possibly next year as well? Was that a precursor to this? Or
I think that was being done by people who didn't know that they were having talks. This whole thing with Liv got put together in 7 weeks.
Wow.
So
wow.
According to Monahan.
So is there any chance, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, that golf is... You know, it's recovered, obviously, but it's almost like a super league. Like, it's even gotten better and more exciting, and you know, this is all kind of behind everybody?
I think so. I think people will have short memories when it comes to this. I think what you'll see is probably a little bit more of a global tour.
Right.
I think you see the success when Liv went down to Australia and you get these guys going on there. It'll be more like F1 to a certain extent. I think still the most of it will be over here in North America.
Well, and that's where you got to think the Canadian Open. You got to get involved in that somehow. Yeah. Like, if there's going to be 25 big weeks a year, let's just use that bold number. You got to find a way to be one of those 25. It doesn't mean that the tournament won't continue and players won't still come up, but it kind of feels like that's where we're going in golf.
I mean, remember last year how good the field was and how good that Sunday was with Finau and JT and Rory down the stretch, right? You want that every year.
Yeah, Scheffler was up here last year.
Sure, yeah. Sam Burns, Cam Young, it was great. Very deep field last year. You can't get those guys this year.
Well, I mean, like you said, Rory's still here. You do have the RBC guys like Burns, the Gala, Cam Young's up here. You got all the Canadians. Like, what are you hearing about how they're feeling about Oakdale and how this tournament's going to play out this week?
I think the guys are saying it's pretty tough with the wind and the rough, as you guys found out.
Yes, use us as an example.
Yeah. I think they're saying that the front nine is kind of hard and the back nine's where you get your birdies. So I've heard a few comments here and there about some certain holes, namely the 18th is a little awkward. But besides that, I think, listen, there's going to be a winner on Sunday. And I think there's some big names in here who are playing well.
Right.
Could rise up. Great to see Rory again, or maybe a Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You get a Canadian in the hunt like that. Exactly. Who cares about what's going on in the rest of the world, in Toronto and throughout Canada? That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Be a great story.
And the bottom line is these guys need to focus and focus on the event here.
Yes.
And get through that. This is a big distraction for them, but they're still teeing off. They're
right.
Still going to be competing for big bucks.
Would it shock you, Bobby, if a guy like Rory just said, I am so done with this. I'm golfing now. Don't ever ask me one thing to do. I'm not supported. I'm just golfing. That's it. I'm a golfer.
Now, that wouldn't surprise me one bit. I think he's had enough in certain cases with
sure.
this. You know, I think he probably, I haven't talked to him, but I would just say I think he probably feels a little bit let down. He's going to
sure,
speak
sure.
to the, he's scheduled to speak to the press tomorrow, so we'll find out more.
Well, and you got the U.S. Open next week where everyone's coming together again.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to start all up again.
Like Mickelson will be there talking this
right.
time next week.
Brooks Koepka.
Koepka's going to be back. Man, it's going to be wild. All right, Bob. Great seeing you, man. Thanks for popping in, guys.
Thanks, okay.
Bob. There's Bob Weeks, our TSN golf reporter. Mackenzie Hughes is going to join us around the table. Get his take from a player's perspective. Confirm or deny still to come later this afternoon as well. We're live from Oakdale, the RBC Canadian Open. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, confirm or deny later in the hour. We're live at Oakdale, the RBC Canadian Open. Noodles and I just witnessed absolutely outrageous behavior.
Outrageous.
We have Mackenzie Hughes here, and he's got a lot on his plate. There's a lot going on in his world.
Yes.
He steps in here. And, explain yourself.
Five seconds. He's not even sat down at the table, and 5 seconds in.
First of all, we're buddies. We're buddies,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Buddies. Me and O-Dog, we're buddies.
Okay.
So when you talk to these are friends of mine. These
right.
High-profile people, not you. So I can ask these types of questions, and I asked Graham Dillette the same thing. I just want a couple little subtle tips. If I want to step on one and turn it over, and this guy is nice enough to help me out.
Do you know how many times he's been asked? 1,000 times. You'd be at a grocery store.
Dude, right.
Somebody
he's not
be lining
asked that.
Up.
Some slasher in a pro-am says, how do I get this thing airborne? And then you walk away.
Be honest. How annoying is that kind of Q&A?
No, it's actually not. I'm a bit of a golf nerd, so that sort of stuff. Like, and I like helping people, so I know it's not the answer you want to hear, but I actually enjoy helping people. So if O-Dog gets out there and rips a draw with a driver, I'll be fired up.
I don't need it all the time, but sometimes you want it.
Ride the wind.
I think he's lying because if he's at Loblaws like in a couple
of
weeks or whatever,
he doesn't want
and a guy
that.
Walks up with a baguette and is trying to like say, "This is my club," this is, you just walk away. You can't. I mean. Not because what's going to happen is everyone's going to approach him.
Yeah, now you've opened the door, Mac.
Can't open the
door
like that.
Now.
Yeah. I'm going to be in Loblaws later. Now, let me think about this.
You've got to rescind that comment, man.
Yeah.
You cannot be helping people like him, let alone anyone else walking
and I've
around
seen
Toronto.
Him, and I've seen him swing. He doesn't need much help.
He can hit a golf
good.
Ball.
He's got
not at this place, man. We were out last week. It was disgusting
Dude,
what he was
I'll
doing.
Tell you what, man. Consider yourself lucky. You guys get to play the courses. We played it 10 days ago. The rough was that long. Because they cut it right before you guys show up, and we had to play in it, and it was thoughtful, it was great,
it was
awesome.
Beautiful being out here.
Couldn't find it, nowhere on earth the golf ball was gone, disappeared.
Right. Anyway.
So I'm going to find a Titleist 2 out there somewhere?
No.
With
no,
O-Dog on it?
No.
Yes, you will.
Long gone.
You'll see a lot of golf balls with O-Dog on them. That would be hilarious mid-round.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mackenzie Hughes in here. How's your day going? I mean, everyone saw your tweet this morning. You woke up and you found out the whole golf world apparently has changed with this new agreement, not necessarily with LIV Golf, but with the PIF and the Saudis. I mean, as a tour pro yourself and as a guy who stepped up representing the tour for a long time, how did you react?
Yeah, it's an interesting time. I basically always thought that we were I guess against LIV. We were competing against them. So I guess it came as a very big surprise to me opening up Twitter to find out that we are potentially partnering with them.
Right.
When it seemed like that was the furthest thing from a possibility 2 days ago.
Is that the biggest feeling is betrayal? Like, how could this happen behind our backs? Because there had to be meetings going on and nobody knew about it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the biggest thing is just that, you know, we're player-run tour, and I feel like sometimes, I guess we don't always feel that way. It feels like sometimes you get these things thrown on you, and you just don't expect them to happen. So That can be tough, and I think that's where some players are feeling a little bit, confused.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you've been talking to a lot of the guys on the tour. Like, is there a range of emotions going on today?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of what I just said, which is like confusion, frustration. Yeah. Why is this better for us? Why are we doing this now? There is also some guys that are intrigued by it, right? There's obviously you're talking about one of the biggest investment companies in the world,
right?
With money that just seems to just fall out of trees for them. So there's obviously that part of it. There's also guys that think morally, you know, we've muddied our waters over here now, and without really much of a choice. So there's a huge wide range of emotions for guys, and it's just all so new. I mean, it just happened, and I think guys are trying to just learn more about it and get informed. I think initially when I heard this morning, I just didn't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. I know a bit more now, and it's still very much up in the air.
Mackenzie Hughes joining us here. We're at Oakdale RBC Canadian Open. So were you in the meeting with Monahan?
I was.
So can you take us inside the room? What was the temperature like in there?
It was tense. There's no doubt that there was some upset players, and there's just a lot of, I guess, guys wondering what the direction is and what the plan is. And
can he give you answers right now?
Not really, because I mean, and he's alluded to this in the media, that this is really a framework deal, not a definitive black and white. Here are the terms. So. Nothing like that's been decided. And do I think it's good for the game 10 years from now? Yes.
In what way?
That there's not, you know, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson playing over here, and, you know, Scottie Scheffler and John Rahm playing on this tour. I think if those four players are playing great on a given week, they should be playing the same tournament, you know, trying to win, you know, the Arnold Palmer Invitational or the Genesis or something like that, where they're competing side by side, trying to beat each other, not one guy playing this tour, the other guy playing this tour. In that sense, I feel like it's good to bring the game back to one tour where we all know the best players are playing. But right now, it doesn't seem that way, because I think a lot of guys, you know, still hold some resentment, right? There's guys that left for greener pastures.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
They could potentially come back. Now, we don't know how that looks or if they will, and what LIV looks like if there's a partnership. That all that is just, an unknown and speculative at this point. So we're just trying to get clarity on that.
What about the guys that turned down the cash? They must be just absolutely...
Just be a puddle.
Huge money, right?
Oh, I mean, there was guys that turned down hundreds of millions of dollars.
Like Tiger turned down 700. I'm sure Rory, I'm sure JT, and there's a bunch of guys.
Zalatoris and these guys, like young guys that, like, I mean, and you look at a guy like Zalatoris who's injured right now, and you think, heck, he was sitting on probably a $100 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the thing with golf is that there's no guarantee. You know, you could break your leg or break an arm and never play again or never be the same person again, and I think that's what was enticing about LIV for a lot of guys, was like, hey, I'm guaranteed something, and if I don't hit another good golf shot for the rest of my life, I have this money. And but again, guys are now thinking about, well, I turned that down, and then these guys get to come back potentially. And
right.
I think there's obviously a lot of frustration there if that was to be the case. And I don't know, I can't speak on whether that they will or what that looks like, but mm-hmm. obviously it's a possibility if we're
It seems like that's the direction it's right. likely going in. Mackenzie Hughes joining us around the table. We're live at Oakdale RBC Canadian Open. The whole team golf, like, have you wrapped your head around that? Would you be intrigued by that idea at all?
Stinks.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a traditionalist too, and I just don't like golf. To me, has been about the battle with yourself, right? I don't want to win a tournament because someone on my team shot 62 and I shot 75 that last day, but man, they just carried me to the win. And I like having it on your shoulders. I like, you know, going out there with your caddy and trying to battle it out. And really, whether I'm playing you know, a journeyman player on Sunday, or I'm up against Scottie Scheffler on Sunday, what I have to do is the same every time. I have to compete within myself to be the best I can be, right? And I'm not relying on a teammate or anything like that to pull me through. I can't, like, you know, call a timeout and say, hey, you know, come hit the shot for me. It's just all on me. And I've always loved that about golf, and I think that the team golf would be a tough sell for me.
Once you get the framework sorted out and you said, hey, this could be good 10 years from now, is that more just the money drags you up, everything, you know, involved, like you say, you get back into one, you know, entity, and then you're financially backed by a massive company, one of the wealthiest on the planet. You know, this is kind of good for everybody involved once everyone gets back to square one. Is that the kind of, you know, the optimists on the other side that guys were thinking about today, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's the side that, you know, if you're looking long term, that you might think about. But like you said, you just don't know. You don't know what that looks like, and you don't know. You're dealing with, frankly, people that you don't know much about. That you, I mean, we talked about in the meeting that you talked about if you're doing business with these guys to get the money up front because you don't know what they might feel like tomorrow.
Right. They might pull the shoot in a year and say, I'm out of here.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think that the uncertainty there with, like, you take a business like the PGA Tour is a great business and it's done really well, it's established, but now you have investors that, you know, could run hot and cold. I don't know. We just don't know.
Well,
right. And so now you risk what's already very good and potentially, you know, disrupt that.
Well, you look at what we were talking about last hour, like the Saudis are going to soccer now, which as big as golf is, like football around the, like, they're giving guys $200 million like Ronaldo, like Benzema, like Messi.
Per season.
That's what I'm saying. Right. They may eventually say, if we get into that level, we're going there, right? And then who knows where. Now, at the end, golf is still going to be very sustainable, right?
Yeah.
You're still going to have a lot of sponsors, and there's going to be a lot of money pumped in. But that's got to be a part of the uncertainty at this point, for sure. You don't really know who you're getting into bed with here.
Yeah, yeah. I think especially for, like, I don't know much about the PIF and Saudi Arabia, for that matter. I just know that for the last year we've talked not very highly of it.
Right.
And now we're thinking that this could be a really good thing. So the mood has changed quite quickly. And I guess, again, like I said, we're all wondering why. Why has it changed quickly? And obviously it comes back to money, I think, in my mind.
Yep.
It's a big week for you. The Canadian Open always is. How difficult? I know you're involved with the players and different groups to say, I'm not dealing with this and I got to tee it up on Thursday and try to win this golf tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's my main focus this week, and it's unfortunate, and I hate it for RBC, I hate it for the Canadian Open, that we've had 2 years in a row of kind of dropping bombs on the Canadian Open. And it's like, you know, we get 1 week a year to have it here in Canada, and the fans deserve the best.
Yeah. They should be saying the words, the Canadian Open, a lot more than they're going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that I'm going to answer more and more questions about this as the week goes on, and it won't be about, you know, how great the event has been and how great the fans are and all this stuff. And I think that that's really disappointing for me because we only get to do this once a year. You know, I like to come on here and talk about the rink or talk about, you know, just
how you're playing
golf in Canada, my game. And now we're here talking about this. So let's talk golf.
Well, is there ever any campaigning with players, like, to play different tournaments? I've always been curious about that. Like, it's a great field, but we were talking last year, Scheffler was up here, JT was up here.
Yeah.
Like, as a Canadian, would you ever go up to a player and say, listen, give it some thought coming up, like St. G's, Hamilton, Oakdale, whatever it is?
Yeah. There's some of that for sure, and, like, I definitely try to, when guys ask, if I know and I you know, am behind something passionately, I'll definitely put my two cents in. I didn't know anything about Oakdale, to be honest with you, so I couldn't even really speak on it leading up to the event. Guys would ask me. I really didn't know anything about it, so that was tough, but, like, going into, like, a St. George's or going into a Hamilton, I knew I could talk those places up, and they would back up the talk.
Right.
I knew guys would love going to those places. Obviously, you've got certain logistical things that guys kind of moan about, which is, like, last year at the range going to Islington.
Right.
Guys, you
guys
know,
wouldn't like that.
Really didn't like that, no. we're definitely prima donnas like that. So you have, like, routines that you're into, and, like, you don't want to, like, hit your last driver, and then hop into the van for 10 minutes, get out.
Yeah, you want to walk right on the deck.
Exactly. You want to get warm and then go to the tee. And so there's stuff like that, but I definitely, to your point, would be pitching for guys to come play and definitely telling them that, you know, things are great up here, and we've done a really good job, and that I think the event's only getting better and better as years have gone on.
Mackenzie Hughes with us. So how are you feeling? How are we feeling about, you know, you going into this week? We pick you every single week. One of us gets you.
It's an argument every week.
Generally is an argument. I guess make your pitch to O and I as to why we should be battling over you tomorrow when we make picks.
You know, I don't want to, you know, I've always played well. I feel like I've always played fairly well in the Canadian Open and have thrived in the atmosphere of what it has been, like the rink. And
right.
I mean, I don't shy away from the fact that they're going to be banging the boards and that people are going to get loud, and I love that. Like, I hope I make a hole-in-one on the rink and people go berserk. Like, that to me would be, like, the dream scenario. And I love the moment when you get kind of in the heat of the battle here in Canada, and you can feel that bit of support pushing you over the line. I think that we don't get that very often. Like, if I'm playing the Memorial and I'm coming down the stretch with Rom or one of those guys, like, they are the favorite, and then rightfully so. But when I'm here in that same scenario, it feels different. And I've been close, you know, a couple times. Hamilton, I was kind of right there last few groups. Rory pulled away. Glen Abbey, I was in the top 10 there the last day. So, like, those types of weeks, they feel really special, and I don't shy away from that moment. So I feel good about this week. I feel, you know, energized coming here, and looking forward to a good week.
I'll take him. You take whoever else you want.
Yeah. Sure.
I got Mackenzie Hughes. Your boy, right? He's hooking you up with how to hit an 8-iron, drivers, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. Five seconds into the conversation.
5 seconds.
Five seconds.
You want to get off the air so you can ask him more questions?
Great to see you, brother. I'll text you.
Yeah. Good to see you, brother.
See that? That's a pro shake.
That's a pro shake. All right. Lock it in. Good luck this week. Thanks for popping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, boys.
There he is, Mackenzie Hughes, RBC Canadian Open, the grappler. He found a cart for Mac.
Yeah, no problem.
Our producer, I texted him when I pulled into our secret parking spot, and I go, can you come and grab me in the cart? He goes, no, I can't find the cart. Then he texts me later in the show. He goes, I'm in the cart to go get Mackenzie Hughes. Where did this cart just magically show up from?
Yeah. We were starving, and he's like, I've got no cart to go get you guys food. Nothing.
Mackenzie Hughes, I'll find your cart. He's driving over the green to go get you.
Exactly.
He's making things happen.
1 week a year.
That's right. One week a year. That's right. There he is, Mackenzie Hughes. Great seeing you. Confirm and deny. Still to come. We're live at the RBC Canadian Open. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, confirm or deny, we're going to fire up tomorrow. A lengthy confirm or deny, right? This was a different day today because we had Mackenzie Hughes come up and Bob Weeks. We've been talking about the Jays and Manoa and the PGA Tour and LIV Golf and Game 2 of the Cup Final.
There was so much.
There's a lot going on, right? Yeah. Darcy Tucker called in, our boy.
Your best buddy.
Yep. Good to hear from him.
It was your 40th birthday. We had to celebrate that. We're going to have a piece of cake before we take off.
Yes. Shout out to all of you for contributing.
All of us who
that.
Paid and chipped in for it. Yes.
Much obliged. I appreciate that. Today's Best Bets, powered by FanDuel. Make your picks and assemble the same game parlay in seconds on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I'm on the under tonight, the Jays game, and I'm on the over, Kevin Gausman, total strikeouts. I think this is what he's been doing all year.
I think
he steps up tonight. I know it's against a great club and a veteran team in Houston that'll work the count.
And sometimes subconsciously you understand there's like a bigger message. It's like when that happens to the staff, you're like, I got to go out there and put in a performance just for the whole staff.
Yes.
To kind of settle everybody down and say, we got this.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And you'll have Romano available tonight, Pearson, Swanson. You got some big arms in the bullpen that will be available tonight as well. So, again, I think it speaks to more of a pitching duel. I think the offense will slow down a little bit. And I think Gausman goes off. And
does Pearson, is he only, like, high-leverage guy now?
Yeah, I don't know if he's high-leverage necessarily yet, but he gives him an inning or two, and he's putting up good numbers.
So that's what he's got. He's never going to get –
That's what he is. No, he's never going to be a starter.
So you don't think they could slide him into that?
That's an interesting point that doesn't even come up.
No,
like, Manoa's gone, and no one's saying Pearson's.
Because when he first came up, that was the guy.
He was the Manoa before there was a Manoa.
Right.
Number one prospect in baseball, certainly with the Jays.
Yeah.
Today's Best Bets powered by FanDuel. The first inning means as much as the ninth when you bet baseball on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. please play responsibly. Must be 19 plus and physically located in Ontario. So yeah, we're at Oakdale. Pro-Am tomorrow. Lots of updates on that tomorrow.
Nervous? I mean,
you got to FaceTime me with Tommy Fleetwood.
Well, I will.
And the
Tommy Fleetwood and me walking around Oakdale.
And the grappler is your caddy, correct?
Yes, and that is probably what is concerning
you're
me more
gonna
than anything else.
Like that is, it's I already know. Well. I know both
that.
Of you, and
oh, that's a two-way street. Like the grappler, there'll be a point where he says, "I'm not doing that. Like yeah. I have something else I have to do."
Right.
Or he'll be talking to Tommy Fleetwood,
and he'll
like,
say, "Hayes, take your own bag."
Yeah. There's 100%. I will walk at least a full hole carrying my own bag.
I'm anticipating
that's an absolute lock.
Yeah. Some form of an altercation.
Bottom line is there's a bunch of guys that are standing around. They want a caddy for somebody. Grab one of them and just say, "Graps, walk along and take some pics and stuff."
Well. That's a possibility.
Because that's a fist fight in the fairway.
I know. And to be fair to him, I don't want him to – I've asked him that. I said, listen, I don't want you to do anything you don't want to do.
No.
You don't just come around, hang around, by all counts. But I think he – listen, you're inside the ropes. You're walking around with Tommy Fleetwood, right? Ryan O'Reilly's playing with us.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is, I am so far down his priority list. He doesn't he's not going to be talking to me.
He might.
Possibly. I don't want anyone talking to me. I just want to be dialed in and...
Tell them you're friends with Darcy Tucker.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
It's your best buddy.
Yes. So, shout out to everyone behind the scenes. Everyone here at the RBC Canadian Open up at Oakdale. The Pro-Am tomorrow. Go time on Thursday. We got Confirm or Deny tomorrow. Our picks brought to you by TaylorMade tomorrow. We can't wait for that.
Yeah.
We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at...
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data-enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/tsnplus to learn more.